We bring greetings from the Colleston Ecclesia. We're glad to be here. The first time I came here was in 1960. My parents wanted to show us where the Bible school was, and they pulled up out here. We were on a vacation. He showed us where the Bible school was, and we returned the next year to go to the Bible school. My dad had been here 13 years earlier, I think when he was about 30 years old and had been to a Bible school. I think I was 5 years old the first time there in 1961. I was looking at these scriptures up here this morning, and I was trying to think how long they had been there, and I don't remember a time that I came that they were not there. In fact, I think there were some other scriptures hanging up here, and they probably, I think they took some of them down. Proverbs 23:23. Buy thee truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Why is truth listed first before these other things? It's because you can't have them if you don't have the truth. It could be because it speaks to us as a process of learning and baptism and continuing therein. This verse speaks to us, we are bought for a price, which should bring to mind our Redeemer. My exhortation tonight is on our walk and some of the scriptures that guide us. They are templates and sayings that we should consider and always remember. When we have come to a knowledge of the truth, we should want to improve ourselves. That is our thoughts and our actions that make up our walk. Our thoughts lead us into actions, and actions into deeds, and deeds into good and bad. Thoughts can be sin without action. Correct thinking is against our nature, our makeup. To serve the Lord is a serious thing. Holmes McGahey was our leader in our ecclesia when I was young at Concord. And he had a lot of sayings. And he had one that goes like this. It was, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. There are lots of sayings that we hear that can give us guidance, both from the Bible and from people. My dad had many sayings also, but one that stands out in my memory is, don't cause trouble. Don't let other people cause trouble to you. Just three little words, don't cause trouble. Our walk consists of the issues of life, everything we do and say. The scriptures say that we will be judged on every idle word, so we need to watch what we say. Before that, we need to keep a handle on what we are thinking. To do these things, we need to avoid certain places. We need to avoid people. We need to avoid being around some of these people, maybe some friends or relatives. We need to stay away from people that try to lead us into something that we know is wrong, or whatever would not be pleasing to the Lord. We have to know when to say no. What about brothers and sisters that have no problems with people? People that take oaths and do other things that they shouldn't be doing. This means brothers and sisters that are policemen, firemen, and politicians. And I know some, and you may know some also. Are these brothers and sisters non-believers? Well, no, they're not non-believers. Are they continuing in the truth they were baptized under? No, they're not, because we go over those things. Has their belief changed? I think it has. They've changed since baptism because they confessed what they believed and what they would do and what they would not do. The scriptures speak to us as to how all brethren should react to those who are in the world. people seem to sometimes have one foot in the world and one foot trying to do right. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. And it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light or knowledge with darkness or ignorance? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" I looked it up. It's Belial, I believe is the way you pronounce it. "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We have a choice to make who we will serve. Choice is one of the functions of life, of the life of a disciple. We must constantly make decisions and judgments which present themselves daily. How we handle the issues of life will determine if God dwells near or within us. If we are living in sin, he will be far from us. The scriptures tell us to draw near to God, and he can and will draw near to us. This decision should be based on the word of the Bible. Have you ever been told we should turn everything over to Christ? I've had people out in the world tell me that before. And they also said, "And if you believe on Christ, your sins are forgiven." It's just not that simple. What do you accept that others say and do? What do we accept? If we hand everything over to the Lord in our decision making, we are shrinking from making spiritual choices. We should not have to ask for God's help on issues that we can take care of ourselves. We are expected to exercise our minds on the problems of life in the light of Bible teaching and prayerful submission to God. Do we allow changes to creep in? What do we allow at fellowship and communion? The Bible abounds in clear teaching which urges the believer to make the right choice based upon the principles set out in Scripture. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. Don't look it up. I paraphrased it just a little bit. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Joshua 24:15. If you will, look that one up. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Psalms 25:8-10-12. Psalms 25, 8 through 10, and then verse 12. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Now look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 through 17. Second Timothy 3:12 through 17, and it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And why is that? It is because that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Referring to Joshua 24, verse 15. Choosing life would seem to be an easy decision to make. But in fact, the children of Israel made the wrong choice. They actually said, "Would God we had died in the wilderness," when they murmured against Moses and Aaron. And sadly, they got their wish, because they died there. They didn't go into the land. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you say. Joshua, at the end of his life, gave the people a choice. He made the right choice in himself and wanted the people to follow suit, but he could not make them. God will not make us choose the good either. Joshua appealed to the people to make a choice to whom they would serve. Who will you and I serve? We have to forfeit all. This means friends and family if they stray. If we allow things that were not once accepted, we make a judgment. Why not refute these things and be a positive example and have good judgment, standing up for the truth? I think for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are a sum of the choices we make in our lives, whether they are good or whether they are bad. God gives us a free will. The will of the flesh must not rule over us. Instead, we should delight to do the will of our Heavenly Father at all times. If you will, turn over to John chapter 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." If there is not found in us a conscious desire to do all to the glory of God, then the Father will not dwell within us. We then may hear the words of Matthew 7:23, which says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We need to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. If we find that we have slipped, we need to change our direction. It takes work to do these things. It takes faith, and we are blessed to have God's gift of grace. Just to have faith is not enough. To say that grace is given to us is not enough. If we believe on Jesus, is this all we have to do? No, it isn't. We have to know what God's plan is for man and the earth. We have to understand the promises made to Abraham and the sure mercies of David. We have to understand Christ and his kingdom. We have to be baptized for remission of sin and for the removal of Adamic condemnation. And we have to live a life that will prepare us to be accepted into that glorious and righteous kingdom. This is our walk. All of this allows us hope. It is not given to us until it is pronounced on that day, the day that we receive eternal life, if we are found worthy. If you will, look at Luke 6, verses 47 through 49. This is Jesus and his saying, his scripture. Luke 6, 47 through 49. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The Bible teaches that we have to be doers. We have an invitation. Everything is available. If we use it in the correct way, we can be successful. We know we need work, faith, and grace. They stand on the foundation of Christ. Grace is free from God, but it is of no avail if we don't have faith and works. It is free on God's part, but not from us back to him. He requires all the things we have talked about. He has given the keys to unlock his gift. But we must find the keys, then use and maintain them. Why? So they won't be taken away. He has an order or procedure that is required to receive his blessings. Where and how our foundation is built. The foundation which we build is Messiah himself and the things concerning him. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So we have been given the keys. What will we do with them? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to read verses 8 through 23. 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. We must lay a solid foundation of good works and faith. There is no other way to approach God than by his rules that he has freely given. Because we do not possess his nature, we have to enter his race for life. Use his rules or we will be disqualified. There is a prescribed way to build our house, our temple. It is upon such a foundation that eternal things stand. Hebrews tells us in the faith chapter that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundation and whose builder and maker is God. Living a life of dwelling in a tent as a stranger and a sojourner in the land of promise, Abraham looked towards the time when this spiritual city shall be built and rejoiced to see that day. What scriptures stand out in our minds as to the templates as how we should walk or live? The law of Moses was given to the Hebrews. Matthew 5:17 tells us the law of Moses was fulfilled by Christ. We are now under the commandments of Christ. They are our template. Nowhere are they better illustrated than in the Beatitudes given by Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Here are listed the essential characteristics of the disciple of Christ. They are a perfect description of our Lord himself and a template for all who would follow him. In each of the Beatitudes, the adherents are pronounced blessed or happy. This is so because of the hope of the kingdom and the peace of mind that comes by knowing and doing the Lord's will. The poor in spirit, those that mourn, and the meek are those with the poverty of spirit to renounce all that sin finds attractive. Observing the world as it shuns the things of God brings grief to the hearts of those who mourn and evokes in them a longing for the kingdom. Those qualities, along with mercy, purity of heart, and the ability to bring peace in a situation of conflict, can only be achieved by association with the Lord in prayer and by frequent exposure to his word. And they are found in Matthew. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. I want to read some of them, starting at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The character of the saint is not attractive to the world, and those that strive to develop godly traits will more than likely be met with hostility. All disciples in every generation will receive trials and temporary hardships. James tells the 12 tribes scattered abroad to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This is all part of our spiritual development, as can be seen in the Beatitudes. They are interrelated. For a disciple to be a peacemaker and truly strive for unity and fellowship, to seek those who are lost and comfort the brokenhearted, he must of necessity fear God, long for justice, righteousness in the earth, show love, compassion, and mercy. These elements are the foundation stones that support the commandments of Christ. They are the core of discipleship. The law of Moses judged outward acts. Christ's law judges the thoughts which produce those acts. Jesus took the matter from the external to the internal. James indicates that it is the mind that is in the mind that the seeds of sin are sown and developed. James 1:14 and 15 tells us, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sinful thoughts are the root of sinful acts. So it is the thought that leads to iniquity. For those who seek peace and are pure in heart, there is no room for such contemplations. The next verses talk about turning the other cheek and going an extra mile and loving your enemy and giving. Look at Matthew 5, starting at verse 38 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. Some templates for our lives are found in Romans also, Romans 12 and Romans 13, and they're very good also. We are told how to conduct ourselves in relation to God, the ecclesia, to men, to the state, to our neighbors. Whenever we have trouble in our lives, these scriptures are for guidance. If we can be honest with ourselves, usually the problems that we have come from within, because we are not doing what is written for our instruction and learning. Turn with me to Romans, if you will, chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And also chapter 13, verses 9 through 14. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Another template is found in James. If you will, look up James chapter 1. Verses 22 to 27. James chapter 1, 22 to 27. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We are told to continue therein, not changing or allowing change. If we change, are we getting closer to God and the ecclesia, or are we getting closer to family and friends? At baptism, we confess our faith, doctrine, the commandments of God and Christ. We also confess the doctrine to be rejected, the things we should do, and the things that we should not do. If we allow for things that are not supposed to be, that are supposed to be rejected, does this make us liars with the truth not in us? Brothers and sisters, If we do nothing, we let others decide our fate. Then that decision is made for us. We don't have a choice. Look at Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we all want what we want, all of us. We think that others are wrong when we do as that Proverbs 14:12 says. We need to ask ourselves, have we studied the matter at hand? Do we fully know what our brother or sister is thinking and knowing? And if we fall into groups because of disagreement, we should ask ourselves, which group is most changed from our beginning guidelines? Who allows things mentioned earlier that were once not a part of Christadelphia? These are facts that should be stuck to. You know, the person need to look at these things. You need to consider all things. And you need to do it for yourself and not let other people have to tell you. We should respect our brethren enough to learn their perspective and not offend. Not causing trouble. That little saying like my dad had, three words. You don't cause trouble. You don't cause trouble. If you're the one causing it, or if somebody else is causing trouble, you shouldn't do it. It can be applied in many situations when you see both sides. If we grow in the faith, we will not digress. What are we doing if we allow change and acceptance, not in accordance with the truth? We are selling our birthright because it seemeth right. And we don't care. We're like Esau. We want what he wanted. We want what we want. I saw that on a commercial the other day. It said, we want what we want. And I want to close by reading a couple of verses and making one little short comment. And I've already read it once, but I want to reread it. And it's Matthew 5:13. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Matthew 5:13 tells us to be salty, to make good decisions and judgments, and don't let others decide for you so that we won't lose our Savior. Thank you.